This is Agriculture Today.
A federal appeals court has ruled that most of President Trump's sweeping tariffs were improperly imposed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Raises new uncertainty for U.S. trade policy. Now, the court found that only Congress has the authority to implement such duties, though the tariffs remain in place until at least October 14th while the case proceeds. Now, according to Reuters, decision applies to tariffs imposed under Trump's reciprocal tariff strategy, which targeted imports from key partners, including China, Canada, and Mexico. Measures have accounted for nearly half of total U.S. tariff revenue in recent years. And while the administration is expected to appeal to the Supreme Court, analysts say the ruling opens the door to refund claims and could force the White House to rely more heavily on Section 301 or other trade law provisions to defend ag markets. Farmers, though, remain caught in the middle. Tariffs have raised equipment and input cost, while also triggering foreign retaliation on U.S. commodities. Possible rollback could ease cost and open export opportunities, but ongoing legal uncertainty leaves producers cautious. U.S. ethanol demand has strengthened in recent years, supported by higher blend rates and a surge in exports. Ethanol, produced primarily from corn, blended with gasoline to raise octane and meet federal requirements. Now, according to USDA's Economic Research Service data, U.S. average blend rate in March was 10.1%. It marks the ninth consecutive month above the minimum federal threshold. 12-month moving average stood at 10.2%, continues a trend that's largely held since 2020. Elevated blend rates have helped sustain domestic ethanol consumption, even as total motor fuel use has slowed. At the same time, though, international markets expanding, and in March, U.S. ethanol exports climbed to 196 million gallons, fifth highest monthly total on record, more than 75% higher than in March of 2016. Now, over the past year, exports averaged a record 167 million gallons per month. With both domestic and foreign buyers increasing purchases, ethanol production continues to underpin strong demand for U.S. corn. And ethanol demand back in March, 465 million bushels of corn, 60 million more than a decade earlier. And artificial intelligence moving quickly from concept to practice in U.S. beef production helps ranchers process data, monitor herds, and make more informed decisions. Now, unlike the more familiar AI acronym for artificial insemination, technology uses algorithms to analyze complex patterns in everything from feed intake to reproductive cycles. That's according to a new report from Nationwide. Applications can already generate summary reports, flag feed inefficiencies, guide marketing strategies, and that's according to Dustin Balsey, Chief Operations Officer of Performance Livestock Analytics. New tools include sensors and cameras that track chewing patterns and ear tags that monitor animal health. It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Today's markets are heavily influenced by the major speculative funds.
Speaking at the recent Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
They have millions and millions of dollars invested in those markets. And so if you're going to have that kind of money, you want the best information you can have. And so they've invested in the best yield models that money can buy. We may not like that type of yield models driving things, but it is the reality of what they're doing. And I saw some of those yield model results back in July, and they were calling for yields of 185 to like 192. And that's what they were pricing in. And so when our customer survey came out at 188 in early August 4th, that was no surprise to the market because it had already been pricing in a crop that big. And when USDA came in with a 188.8 on August 12th, that had already been priced into the market. And I said before that report, I thought we could actually finish higher that day, but the one exception was the acreage surprise. 2.5 million acre increase in the August report. That just doesn't happen. But it did happen. The market priced it in that day, and we've been higher ever since. Because the market's first job is to price in the maximum size of the crop. The crop is now getting smaller because August has had more disease problems, dryness problems, etc. Question is, how small is it? But the market's priced in to maximum size. So now it's starting to shift its focus to the demand side of the ledger. The cash market still has to worry about finding a home for everything. The futures market has priced in the size of the crop. And so that is behind us now. It's looking to other things.
Now, some of the surprise from the recent August report due to changes in submission of FSA data.
Well, I think the sooner you have information, the better. And like I said, the funds have their ways of getting this information, so it's the farmer who needs to be able to have access to the information. And the sooner we can get it, the better, so that they can make good decisions based on it. And I think being able to bring in the FSA data sooner rather than later, they used to bring it in October. Then they moved it up to September. Now they feel like they can release it in August. There's no reason it shouldn't be able to be in August, and they're doing that, and I applaud them for that.
But what goes up has to come down, and what goes down comes back up. They're all cycles.
We go through cycles in the ag economy. I've been in this for more than four decades, and I've seen a lot of cycles. I started in the industry in the 1980s, early to mid-1980s, and those were very dark days. I hope we never return to those days. It's tough today for a lot of these farmers. I understand that it's not what it was in the 1980s. And but those cycles come and go, and we have to prepare ourselves. So a year ago, my message started being consistently, we need to be defensive in our marketing. No longer trying to get the most that we can, but trying to protect the equity we built in the farm. And sometimes that means accepting a price we don't like to prevent ourselves from losing more. Reduce our losses type of a thing, but taking strategies. Right now, we can take advantage of the carry in the market. We've got a lot of carry, especially in soybeans. We can take advantage of that. If we found a home for, and we can have a place to store the crop, then we can collect the improvement in basis after harvest. So between carry and basis, we can capture things. But you have to have a strategy to actually capture that. The one who just waits for it to happen, they're not going to benefit from it.
And this is Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
The futures market trends are strong, corridor moving down for corn, bottomed out, we hope, maybe moving sideways now.
Dan O'Brien is a Kansas State grain marketing economist.
For wheat, an unrelenting negative trend. Had a bit of relief, late May, early June for wheat, but then resumed on this tortured downward path. And most farmers that if they still have wheat to sell, they're bemoaning that same downward trend. It's not helping them any in terms of getting a positive selling price. But then, and for soybeans, again, had hit a low in late July, early August, and jumped way up, as we talked about, from about 980 up to about 1062, 1063. Receded off of that to 1048. So I guess we're standing back right now looking at these markets and frankly, really we're waiting for new USDA data on the size of these crops. On September 12th, there'll be another USDA crop production and WASDE report. The USDA NAS will be out in the fields. They'll actually be out in the fields getting their own measurements to go along with what farmers are telling them around September 1st. So that's just days around the corner. In fact, it's probably started right today, Friday, and going on for days around that. And there's been a lot of concern about the size of the U.S. corn crop that, we had this large yield expectation projection coming out of the August. Yes, that's right. The August 12th report. Showing us that, saying that we had about 188.8 bushels per acre, 16.7 billion bushel size, crop size, but then had a crop tour that happened, as the Pro Farmer crop tour happened about a week ago, came back with markedly lower expectations of about 182 bushels per acre. And of course that you'd still have a tremendous corn crop, but it wouldn't be 16.7. You're closer to something closer to 16. Well, that differential make a big difference on the USDA supply-demand balance sheet for corn and would impact prices. So I have my own set of numbers calculated that if we just keep everything the same and just change the yield down 184 bushels per acre, asking the question, well, where do we end up? Well, we end up 30 to 40 cents per bushel higher, about three percentage points less for stocks to use, ending stocks at 2.1 billion down to about 1.7. So, you know, it's a big deal. We'll be watching to see also what happens on beans. Soybeans also had a record high yield forecast by the USDA. I believe it's in essence, it was about, 42.5 thereabouts, bushels per acre for soybeans, 53.6 bushels per acre and still a lower figure, but soybeans, frankly, more on the edge of where things could go. I do want to mention that for wheat, we had in this last week, and even with all these, with all the other things that we're bemoaning for U.S. wheat, we had a tremendous week of U.S. wheat exports and of hard red winter wheat exports, and probably because of low prices and relatively low U.S. dollar and some problems, dry conditions over in Europe, et cetera. So, I guess all is not lost with regard to where markets go. We have the present things we're assuming, but we still have a number of things that we have to iron out in terms of final crop size and where, not just here in the U.S., but across the globe. And on the wheat, it's kind of a conundrum in that, man, we've got great exports flying off of U.S. shores during this time of low prices. And you wonder in the next 30 to 60 to 90 days how that wheat pace will work itself out and if eventually we'll start to see prices level and move to the higher side.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
So the plan is to take about half of the employees who remain in Washington, D.C., and move them out closer to the people they serve in the field.
Speaking recently at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, Deputy Secretary of USDA Stephen Vaden explaining USDA's new reorganization.
We designated five hubs: Raleigh, North Carolina, Kansas City, Missouri, Indianapolis, Indiana, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Fort Collins, Colorado, to be the location that most of these 2,600 people to be relocated will go. Why did we pick those places? It's simple. Number one, USDA already has employees there. For example, some of them are already regional headquarters for some of our agencies. It makes sense to locate more people where we already have people and where there is vacant office space available. And then second, each of these places has a much lower cost of living than Washington, D.C. I mean, we are like farmers in that it's not only about today's crop, it's about next year's crop as well. And in looking toward the future, if you're a young person and you want to have a career with USDA, if you want to start a family and own a home with a yard on a government salary, you are literally driving on average a minimum 1 hour each way to commute to USDA's headquarters if you report in Washington, D.C. There are people who commute 90 minutes and 2 hours every day to do that. How many 25-year-olds do you think that sounds attractive to?
Yeah, not many.
Meanwhile, in Raleigh, North Carolina, on a government salary, you can have a home, you can have a family, you can have a quality level of life, and you can have a career with USDA that will last decades on that salary. That's why we pick these places. We're not just thinking about who's at the department now. We're thinking about who needs to be there 20 years from now to pick up the torch from the people who are there now and help the next generation. And that future is going to be outside of Washington, D.C. for all but the 2,000 core employees. One thing I think it's important to add, Mike, because I don't want people to be concerned, every agency and every mission area will have employees in Washington, D.C. It's not like everybody's leaving, but we're just going to have the top people and policymakers there, the people who members of Congress and trade groups need to meet with when they fly in, and everybody else who's focused on serving farmers in the field, where they're going to be right there with them in the field.
And in a surprising twist, members of Congress from both sides of the aisle expressing concern.
What we learned is that the people with whom the staff interacts, they actually prefer it. They're closer to them. There are not many land grants near Washington, D.C. There are a heck of a lot of land grants near Kansas City.
Yes.
And so they're much closer to the people whom they serve. We also have learned, despite some people's worries, we have great success recruiting in these regions. People want to live in Kansas City. Families want to make a life in Kansas City. So that's why we want to send even more people to Kansas City, and it's one of the regional hubs that we have selected. Similar for the other four areas. So we're really doing this with our employees in mind, and while you are correct, when you were in the District of Columbia, there are all people jumping up and down about this. One thing I've noticed is when you get roughly 45 minutes outside of the District of Columbia, nobody thinks it's really a bad idea. Everybody kind of understands it and just sees it as natural.
Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden at the recent Farm Progress Show. It's Agriculture Today.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Mr. Fordyce, you've had extensive engagement with the Farm Service Agency.
At a recent confirmation hearing for Richard Fordyce to be the head of Food Production and Conservation at USDA, Senate Ag Committee Chairman John Bozeman.
How do you plan to best utilize the FSA county office employees while also improving technology and communication between FSA and the RMA to provide exceptional service to producers across the country? I know we were out and about, have been out and about a lot for the last couple of years in regard to trying to get together a farm bill, trying to help our farmers. But in talking to the FSA people, it's not unusual for them to talk about having to get into multiple different entities in order to get the information they need in order to do things in a timely fashion.
I too have had those very same conversations. When I was the administrator in the first administration, we implemented a lot of programs, most notably the 2018 Farm Bill. With those implementations, it lots of times creates the necessity to create software that supports that implementation. And I think I can safely say, and I think others would probably agree, probably some in the room, that a lot of our technologies are woefully old. And antiquated, I would almost say, in some cases. And so certainly there is a need for some modernization in the tools that are used by FSA to deliver those programs. And also, we probably could see some modernization in the ways that we participate with the producers that we serve at FSA.
The other thing that we hear a lot about is just the time that it takes in dealing with the loan process. We hear that from applicants and lenders across the board. I think it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still a problem. So, again, I know that's something that you're well aware of. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back in several months and you tell us a good story as to how we're moving in the right direction in that regard. So many of these things are just inefficiencies that wouldn't make, they cost some money, but the efficiency will gain us so much, and it's just a matter of us helping you to get those things done. You've got a wealth of experience both on the farm and in leadership at USDA. How can existing federal programs be expanded or modified to better support young and beginning farmers and ranchers?
Well, again, Senator, a good question, and I appreciate that question. I think that all of us probably in this room certainly have an eye to the next generation and that population that is new or beginning farmers. And, we're all probably pretty aware of the capital requirements and things that it does take to start a farm. They can be enormous. And so, I think that in some cases, I think depending on where you are located geographically, what your history has been as a new farmer or beginning farmer, I think we could probably do a better job of outreach and communication, making those new and beginning farmers more aware of what's available, that can be of assistance and can be of help to starting a new farm. Not only from a program standpoint, a financial standpoint, but also even as a mentorship standpoint. And I think we could look to do that.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Broadly speaking, we're still in a time of pressure from expectations of sizable crop harvest.
Kansas State grain economist Dan O'Brien.
More so in probably wheat. Again, we've had that harvest, still prices moving to the low side. We've had some strength here of late in corn. Again, in response to what USDA information comes out or not, and probably the most strength actually in the soybean market. And when you look at the corn price, here we closed yesterday with a D's contract at $4.10. The September contract is just going. It's coming into its delivery time frame. So we've kind of shifted our attention in terms of following the markets into D's, and then the carrying charges from D's to March. Then just about 6 cents a month from March to May, about five or so, and less there. So I guess I'd say when you look at the recent trading range for D's corn, we had been as low as about 391, 392, as high as about 417, and we're now at 410. And we try to follow a technical indicator called the Relative Strength Indices Index. And if it's at 50, then the prices are going sideways. If it's at 70, they're going up. If at 30, they're going down. And the most recent readings of that last several days are around 50. So given the drastic big fall off that we've had in prices all the way from especially from June to now, to have prices having stabilized some to go sideways is a positive. And for soybeans, again, that somewhat of a different story for soybeans. We had been down to about, for November soybeans, down to about $9.80 two or three weeks ago. And now we'd gotten up as high as about 10.63, closed yesterday at 10.48. So positiveness some positive trends in the soybean market. Again, that was on yesterday's close, and carrying charges for beans are amazing. Strong carrying charge from the SEP contract going out September. It's also entering into delivery time frame from September to November, just under 10 cents a bushel per month. And you think, well, gosh, that's just the delivery time frame. But from November to January, just a little over nine and three-eighths cents per bushel per month, 7 cents out to March. Then out to May, down to 4 and 5/8 cents. So pretty good carry there. In the wheat market, again, and we're watching Kansas City hard red winter wheat. You saw a close yesterday for the September contract, also entering into a delivery time frame at 4.86¾. Within the D's contract, 5.15¾, and a carrying charge between those two of, again, almost 10 cents, nine and two-thirds cents per month. From D's to March at 6¾, to May, then to 6 7/8, and the like. So I guess I mentioned the carries because of the likelihood of not all grain being sold at harvest, especially if we continue to have evidence of strong crop size, et cetera. And with that, you'll probably see quite a bit of storage. In our report that we put together this week, we have put together charts on where basis is at for corn, for sorghum, for wheat, and for soybeans. And you really see pretty weak basis. Well, the weakest basis is for sorghum right now, waiting for exports to kick back up with the new harvest year, et cetera. And hopefully China's re-entry into that market.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.